NBA proceeds.
I didn't want to. You're a member of Congress now.
A dime on every dollar. Well, you could have gotten me before 5:10.
Busy trying to make sure you got there.
Well, thank you. Okay. Well. Can everyone hear all right, or do we need to close the door?
We're good.
Yeah, I think we're going to need to close it.
Yeah, wow. Well, I never thought I'd ever be this popular. Look at this. Okay, fire away. I guess we got 10 minutes. Yes, sir.
Quick message to young Republicans. What would you tell them?
What I would say to young Republicans is that you are the future of this constitutional republic. I think that you must be the ones to carry on that banner. What we have to do is make sure that we establish the principles and values that enable you to carry forth that banner, and that's why I'm here.
What would you say to young Americans
for freedom? Hello, I'd say the same thing to young Americans for freedom. I think that, you know, when you you come to CPAC, the great thing is that you do see young people, and that's the message that we have to get out, is that conservatism is no longer just the old stodgy white guy club. It is a club that brings together all different people, but it is a club that is based upon the principles and values, and I think that that's what I'm going to be talking about today.
So Hosni Mubarak stepping down?
Well, the thing is, when you have a change of leadership, my first question is, who fills that void?
Right.
And there's a lot of euphoria, but you know, one of the concerns is 19 days ago, no one could have seen this happen. And you see this wave occurring all across the Middle East, Tunisia, Algeria, Egypt, Yemen. You know, King Abdullah in Jordan is very concerned. And, you know, we're talking about pulling out of Iraq at the end of this year. That's another void that will be created because Maliki has already said that he's not going to run again. And Muqtada al-Sadr has already come back from his little vacation over in Iran. So it's okay to be euphoric and be happy about the fact that the flame of freedom has been lit in an Arab nation. But, you know, not yet.
Sir, you're one of the two-party citizen candidates. What is the most surprising thing you found being in Congress and the thing you like best now that you're there?
Well, the thing I like best is the fact that I took off a uniform, I put on a suit and tie, and I continue to serve the American people. For 22 years, I defended. But for 22 years, you know, you're out there in some distant lands, and you're protecting the institutions, one of which you are now serving in. And that's just one of the great things. As far as what do I see bad, well, it seems that when you cross the Potomac, this insular world that you have here in Washington, D.C., people have lost a perspective of reality. And I think that, you know, some of the, not just the new members, I think some of the people who have gotten very comfortable up here, they need to be the ones to go back and have some town hall meetings.
What do you think about the inclusion of the gay conservative group Go Proud in the conference?
You know, I don't have any problem with anyone exercising their liberty. And so, you know, as far as my lifestyle, of course, I would not agree with that for me. But that's something that someone has to deal with themselves. And that's the great thing about the United States of America, is individual responsibility and accountability, is liberty. And I will tell you, you can contrast that over in the Islamic world where, you know, a gay or a lesbian person would be hung for the fact that they have that belief. So, or that, whatever you call it, I don't know.
Where do you think? Where do you think libertarians fit in the Republican Party?
Well, you know, the thing is, there is, it's so funny when people talk about, you know, too far to the left, too far to the right, moderate, or whatever. When you study the Constitution, you understand what the Founding Fathers did. The Constitution puts us right in the center. Okay, if you go too far to the left, that means great big government that is overarching. If you go too far to the right, you have too little government, you have anarchy. So I think what they did, they came up with a document that really does promote the liberty of the American people and the citizens and restraining the government. So I think that when you look at libertarians, I mean, you guys are just uber conservatives, you know, on steroids. I mean, that's just about it.
Do you think Republicans in the freshman class are given enough to challenge the leadership in the House?
Well, you tell me. When the leadership comes and says, we're only going to cut $38 billion, then 24 hours later, they say they're going to cut $100 billion.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. How are you?
Do you think that the more conservative part of the party, particularly the freshman lawmakers, are getting a lot more respect over the Capitol Hill? You seem being sort of pushed out by any kind of leadership happening overall.
No, I got to tell you, if you look at what is happening, I mean, we're having an impact. And the thing is, the leadership and those of the establishment need to understand, they need to listen to what happened in the 2nd of November. Let's be very honest. Okay, this was not a result of a love affair with the Republican Party, what happened November 2010. The American people definitely rejected the big government, liberal, progressive agenda that was coming from Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid. But it's so important. You've got a window of opportunity, and if you don't take advantage of this right now, you will lose the credibility. You will lose your connection with the American people. And, you know, the Republicans got off path. And that's why they got kicked out in 2006. So right now we've got to keep it on path.
Congressman, have you had a conversation with your colleagues on the Congressional Black Caucus about the true nature of the Tea Party movement and their openness to people of color?
Well, you know what's so funny? You know, when you think about it, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus, you know, here they have one of its members being the keynote speaker at the biggest gathering of conservatives in the United States of America. And I think that's what we wanted to see happen. We want to see a body politic that is not just in this, you know, microcosm over here, but can be an impact player across the entire political spectrum in the United States of America. And this past week, I went to a Congressional Black Caucus Foundation reception, widely received, and you're sitting there, you're talking with black businessmen, and they have some concerns. And so you got to bring those things to the table. We all want the same thing at the end. Sometimes the means by which we want to get there are a little bit different, but, you know, there are 41 of them, there's only one of me. It's pretty fair odds for me.
Hoorah!
Congressman, the mainstream media have been rather viciously attacking strong Republican women. After this keynote speech, do you expect the mainstream media to make you a particular target?
Where have you been? Okay. I mean, I haven't even been elected, and I mean, I'm the only black member of an all-white motorcycle gang. You know, prostitution. You know, the Cook Political Report and Politico this week said I'm already the most vulnerable person out there. I mean, you know, but what that is, that's fear. And so, you know, you never let a military guy know that you're afraid of him. Because I'll just turn up.
Colonel West, talking about your motorcycle, is that an American-made motorcycle?
See, the quote-unquote conservative blogger of the year is from South Florida. And as far as I know, it was built here in the United States of America. But it is a Honda VTX 1800R. It's a retro. And I would have anyone on a Harley try to outride
that matches my truck.
Gallon.
Nah.
Congressman, what about the debt ceiling? How do you expect the vote to go in?
This is the bottom line of the debt ceiling. I've been very consistent on this. This is an opportunity for leadership. This is an opportunity to leverage something. Because if we raise the debt ceiling and we do nothing else, it shows that we are not serious about being fiscally responsible as we move forward. So there are four conditions I say have to be tied to the debt ceiling. Number one, you got to cap federal government spending. You know, you look historically anywhere from 18 to 20%. Number two, you got to have a balanced budget amendment. The federal government cannot continue to write checks or run a credit card and believe that there's an endless supply of money that they can continue to print. We've got to look at the big three entitlement programs, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, because if we don't get it off of autopilot, by 2040, 2045, it will subsume our entire GDP. So we have to come up with some options. And last and most importantly, we got to cut the corporate business tax rate. You know, if Japan lowers theirs, then we're going to be number one in the world at 35%. You're not going to bring jobs back here. You're not going to have private sector growth. You're not going to have long-term sustainable economic growth if it stays at 35%. Cut it in half. Bring it down to 18 to 19%. Get all that capital to come back to the United States of America. Yes, sir.
What do you say to those who want to cut military funding in order to balance the budget?
Sure. I can tell you, you know, I spent 22 years in the United States military. I know where the bodies are buried. I can go over to the Pentagon, and I can tell you where fraud, waste, and abuse is. You know, we're not talking about cutting our men and women that are forward serving. We're not talking about cutting their training. We're not talking about taking away the tools that they need to be victorious. We're not talking about cutting those soldier, sailor, airman, marine, Coast Guardsman family programs. We're talking about looking at the overhead, at the waste that is out there. You know, you got more admirals than you got ships in the Navy.
Thoughts on phasing out aid corps?
And I don't say that just because, you know, the Navy keeps beating us in football.
Last question. Thoughts on phasing out aid corps that's been floated out from the administration?
There's a lot of things that we need to, you know, ACORN, you know, it's so funny, you know, how everyone attacks the Tea Party. No one says anything about a group like ACORN, Organizing for America, or MoveOn.org. So, you know, we should not have the federal government subsidizing and funding anything like ACORN. It's a very nefarious organization.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Colonel.
Thank you. Oh, no problem.